Joining us in WRCO is Roxanne Kluber-Tons Gerber, manager at Aging and Disability Resource Center of Eagle Country here in Richland Center. And it's that time of year again to talk about the homeless count, point in time count. Roxanne, you've been doing this a long time.
I have. So good morning. Thanks for letting me be on this morning. So actually, this is probably, I believe it is my 22nd point in time count. We do these twice a year. It's a national count and it's an overnight street count.
Sure, a concern for us, and we have this extreme weather like we do. The thought of being homeless is very scary.
It is, and unfortunately in Richland County, there are not a lot of options for housing for people right now that are homeless. So it's even more concerning to think that there are people out there that have no place to go.
So the point in time count, could you explain to us again what that is?
Yeah, so it is an overnight count. So it starts this Wednesday and it goes into Thursday morning. So what we do is we have a group of individuals that go out and we are actually looking for individuals who are homeless to try to gather a little bit of information from them. We don't ask them any deep personal information, but just kind of getting their demographics. So we go out. We also generally take like food bags with us, some other types of, maybe blankets or gloves, hats, things like that to be able to give to individuals. What we do is when we get that information from them, we find out how long have they been homeless? Have they been homeless more than once in the last 3 months? Where was the last place they stayed? You know, those kinds of things. And then we gather all of that information and then we give it to the Southwest Coalition on Homelessness. They get all that data together and they wrap it up and send it on to the state. And then the state reports that out to the federal government. And what that can do is that can help to give us a snapshot of what does it look like in Richland County. I think a lot of people are always surprised when I say we have a lot of individuals who are homeless. Individuals who are homeless are generally not seen. We'd be surprised at how many people there are that are living in campers, living in tents all over the county. So then what happens from there is the federal government can then see what does it look like throughout the country. And then that can potentially help with providing other types of supports and fundings to the state.
How do you know where to look when you're going out on the count?
I've done it so much. So for me, it's just been experience. In the summer, you know, we tend to see people in campgrounds. We tend to see people down by the river. We tend to see people that are just on private property, maybe in a camper or whatever. And then in the winter, it's harder. I mean, to be honest, you know, people tend to be couch surfing more. If individuals are couch surfing, they're not considered homeless. But in my eyes, they are. They don't have a home and somebody just out of the kindness of their heart is letting them stay there for the night. But in the winter, it is much harder. People tend to go to places to stay warm. They end up under bridges. This year, I do know that we've been giving more tents out through Lydia's house. And so there are more people that had been tent camping. And I do know that there's been some that have been given like propane heaters by different individuals. And that's how they're trying to stay warm.
When you approach a homeless person, sometimes are they willing to divulge the information, or what usually happens?
Most are, actually. If you want to get more information from people, you know, we go out in pairs and we're always very careful. You know, we kind of gauge the situation. And if they don't want to talk to us, we'll just ask them if they're willing to speak with us. If they say no, then we try to give them some resources and some items, food, things like that. And then we just, move on. But for those that are, willing to speak with us, we have it's usually a nice conversation. You know, they tell us about how did they get into the situation and what types of things have they, tried to do to get out of the situation. And then it is a good conversation about what resources do we have here in Richland County? What do we not have? And what can we do to maybe find them a way to get someplace that they can get more help?
It's beneficial for your department too, to kind of figure out what needs to be done too, right?
It does. You know, I was talking to our public health director, manager a couple weeks ago, and homelessness and just housing security in our community is on the rise. We see so much insecurity for housing. There is not much housing out there. We need more housing in our community. And so those just doing this count really brings that to light of how many people are struggling out there.
Do you just do this in Richland County, or is it surrounding counties?
So we just, our group just does Richland County, but actually every county in the state and across the country is doing this count, and it's always at the same time.
It's a national event then?
It's a national event, twice a year.
Trying to get all those numbers, totals and things like that. Do you look for volunteers to help out, Roxanne?
We do, and luckily through the ADRC, I've got staff that are very interested in this as well. We have some regular volunteers that help us every single year, but if people are interested in the future, they can reach out to me and we can get them connected so they could do this as well.
Do people from the community give you tips sometimes saying, oh, this person is staying over here? I mean, is that a good way to find a person that's homeless?
It is, and actually I was out distributing flyers for the count, and I was very interested to talk to different businesses who said, oh, did you know? And this one's staying over here off of the trail. And so our businesses are actually very, they've got a lot of good information that they can share with us. And so do our local individuals within the community.
Sometimes businesses do let them stay, you know, especially in extreme cold, maybe for a few hours and, you know, just to get warm.
Yeah.
So that takes place as well. The point in time count is Wednesday, and then you know ADRC is kind of a one stop shop when you think about it, because you can direct them. You know, like maybe it's a person that's suffering from some mental illness issues, or you know, you've got all the resources at hand, don't you?
We do. It's interesting because when people walk into the ADRC, we never know what their situation is, but the resources that we have available and the staff that we have available are very, very, very good at sitting down, talking with people, finding out what are their needs and what types of resources are available. And if, you know, for housing, especially for individuals who are homeless, it may not be that there's anything local, but maybe we can work with our transportation program to get somebody to a shelter someplace. You know, so our staff are really good at kind of getting all that information together and helping an individual.
An individual that needs housing, there aren't as many opportunities locally, right? Are there other opportunities in communities not too far away then that you could send them to?
So generally it's Madison. So there's shelters in Madison that we're able to take people to the shelter in Madison. So that's generally what we try to do. Of course, some people, though, they don't want to leave Richland County. Richland County is their home. So then it's, you know, that trying to figure out, okay, are there any housing options available in Richland County? So those are kind of those conversations that people have with our staff on, you know, where do they want to be and what kinds of options are there available?
Is it seasonal as well, Roxanne? Do you find more homeless in the good months, you know, than in the winter months?
You know, generally I would say yes. I would say that is generally the case, but this year has been a particularly difficult year. I think in my 13 years of working with the ADRC, this is the most that I've ever seen.
And you mentioned that, you know, economy and some things like that have a little bit to deal with it then?
Yeah, I think it just depends on each individual person. You know, I think, you know, for a while there was a stay on any kind of evictions. And so people weren't able to, you know, landlords weren't able to kick people out. So some of that is still from that. After that, though, that lifted, now people can be evicted. And then just the lack of housing options as well. And unfortunately, some people get themselves in situations where, you know, they lose their housing for a variety of different reasons. And then nobody will rent to them, or they just aren't able to find anything.
Are there things that those of us in the community can do as far as donations and blankets and things like that?
So as far as in the community, you know, there is Lydia's House Ministries, and they provide a lot of services to individuals. They try to, I should say, right now. Lydia's House is unfortunately closed, but you can always look at doing donations to Lydia's House. There's also Passages in town that, you know, people could look at. Is there something that they could make a donation there as well? So those are some things. If they had any questions, they could reach out to me at the ADRC and I could get them in contact with some different service organizations.
And likewise, if there's a person that is homeless and maybe, you know, in a little bit of trouble, you know, in dire need in this kind of weather, is there a number they can call?
Yep. So there is. So for the point in time count, so Richland County is part of a five county coalition. And so there is a homeless coordinator. She's called a coordinated entry specialist. And so her name is Haley, and people can reach out to her at 608-732-7310. And she's able to then take people's information and get them entered into what's called coordinated entry. And then that information also goes to the state as well. So could potentially open up some other options for them.
Speaking of the state, I understand there's a presentation from the state coming up in February.
There is. So February 19th, there will be a state of homelessness presentation that the state will do. It'll be held virtually. And then we also will have it available for people to walk in to Health and Human Services on the 19th of February. And that will be from 1 to 3. So they will be able to then talk about what was the results from the point in time count and kind of what is that state of homelessness in our community locally.
Okay. And that's coming up then next month. Anything else you want to talk about in terms of programs coming up here in the near future?
So other programs, so just going, leaving the homelessness part, I'll talk a little bit about our men's shed. So our Aging and Disability Resource Center is actually working with the Lloyd Community Center and also with the Land and Conservation, can't talk today, department, and we are going to be starting a men's shed. So men's shed is for men that are over 60 to be able to come together, congregate, socialize. We'll have some guest speakers, and I think Phil may know one of the guest speakers. Our first one is going to be March 11th, and that'll be at 11 a.m. at the Lloyd Community Center, and it'll be every month thereafter. But I do know that we're looking at hopefully doing a morning show to talk more about that. And then we also will be continuing our Rise and Dine program, so at the Phoenix. So that will be coming up. I don't have the dates for that yet, but we are hoping to continue that once a month. That was really popular. We did that in September, November, and December. And so that's also for individuals who are over 60, and that's for our senior nutrition program.
We'll have some announcements coming on about that or when you can call and register, but I know people have asked about that. It's been popular.
Yeah, we actually, Tanya Webster, she is our nutrition program coordinator, and she just did some information for me to do some reporting on that. And we had over 50 people that have never used our program before that went to the Rise and Dine. So that was really exciting to see that we're reaching other individuals besides our normal individuals. So yeah, it was a really, really, really great program.
We've talked a little bit about the men's shed at Lloyd, too. I really look forward to hearing about that and seeing that. As you mentioned, looking forward to being there for one of the events. But I went to first grade there, so it's kind of a, you know, like a little reunion for me or something.
Yeah. Yeah, we're excited to have you come out. It's always good to have local celebrities come out and promote us a little.
Over here is where I, you know, got hit in the face by a ball during dodgeball, and you know, so that should be fun. But the men's shed, again, you know, you mentioned the ages, but it's kind of a good chance for guys to get together and do a little rapping.
It is. And, you know, the interesting thing is that women, you know, we tend to congregate a little bit more and socialize a little more. But as men age, we see more and more that men aren't doing that. And so it really is a great opportunity for people to come together. It helps to encourage those social interactions. And it has been shown, there's quite a few across the state that have been really successful. And it's really shown to decrease social isolation and loneliness and improve men's health. So we're really excited to be able to bring that to Richland County.
Will there be a registration required for that, or can people just show up?
Nope, there will be a registration because we will have a lunch with that as well. So there'll be a registration required.
That's coming up in March. Anything else this year you'd like to talk about?
Oh, goodness. I think that's probably enough. My main thing was to be able to talk about the point in time count today.
And that will start on Wednesday.
Yep.
And we'll continue for that 24-hour span there. So
actually, it goes overnight from Wednesday until Thursday morning at 6 a.m. So it's an overnight count.
Any idea of the numbers that we're talking about in the last year as far as homelessness in Richland County?
Oh, goodness. I would say at any given time that what we know of is, you know, anywhere from 10 to 30 people. I know the one summer when we did the point in time count, we found 47. So I think people would probably be shocked to know that, you know, there's that many individuals, because like I said, most people try to stay hidden as much as possible. So it is more than what anybody would probably imagine. And just because we don't find people doesn't mean that they're not here. Yeah. So even if we don't find people Wednesday night, because people are, you know, it's going to be very cold. So just because we don't find people doesn't mean that we don't still have that issue here in our community.
And again, if somebody knows of someone, they should contact your office?
Yep, they can reach out to us, or they can also reach out to Haley with the Southwest Coalition. And again, that number is 608-732-7310.
So what do? Take a long nap so you can stay up all night long, or how does that work?
I don't sleep well anyway, so so I'm usually up at, you know, midnight anyway, so I'll just go for a drive.
Sure. And do you work with law enforcement as well?
Yes. So law enforcement is always extremely helpful, and so they also will be out and about and as part of their normal work schedule, of course, but they'll also be looking for individuals who may be experiencing homelessness as well. And so law enforcement, they may talk with people and take the information, then they'll share that with me.
Great. Well, it's a wonderful thing that you do for the community. So thank you a lot for coming along today.
Yeah. Thanks for having me.
And keep us posted on that, too. Yeah. Roxanne Kluber-Tonsgerber, manager at Aging and Disability Resource Center of Eagle Country. Again, the point in time homeless count coming up on Wednesday into Thursday in our community.
Putting off those auto repairs can cost you more in the long run. So now's the time to be thinking about putting your tax refund to good use and scheduling an appointment for service work or new tires. Hi, this is Sean from Sean's Auto Repair and Performance. Whether it's cars, trucks, or SUVs, you'll get courteous, quality, professional service for imports and domestics. Stop soon at 184 East Mill Street, downtown Richland Center, where you'll find oil, accessories, and car audio as well. Sean's Auto Repair and Performance, 649-2886.
Cervical cancer is highly preventable with routine screenings and timely care. This Cervical Cancer Awareness Month, the Richland Hospital and Clinics reminds you, early action saves lives. Our newest providers, Dr. Claire Fletcher and Dr. Damalola Adesanya, are accepting new patients and can see you without a long wait. Don't put it off. Your health matters. Call today or visit richlandhospital.com to schedule. Prevention is powerful. Start today.
Looking for the